Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, walaikum.
Okay. Assalam. Yes, Muhammad. Okay, yes, Allahu Akbar. We're on the air. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. This is Amin Yasir Muhammad and Muhammad Khatib calling from Los Angeles. Alhamdulillah, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his slave servant and messenger. Alhamdulillah. This show is called Why They Want You to Be Rich. Why They Want You to Be Rich. That title was inspired by Imam W.D. Muhammad when he made a commentary in a talk. And if you want to see that talk, you could go to New Africa, Space, Code, and STEM Academy. New Africa, Space, Code, and STEM Academy. And click on that talk that Imam W.D. Muhammad made where he praised these authors. He says it was a Caucasian, a European American, and an Asian American who wrote a book on why, you know, they wanted the average person or the poor person to become rich, you know, and he praised these authors, and he was referring to Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki. We all know Robert Kiyosaki, the author of many books, but the one that really, catapulted him to fame was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. When he got on Oprah Winfrey's show and his book went viral, alhamdulillah. So Imam Muhammad really praised these men, and he praised their effort, he praised their book, and he said that these men are good-hearted humans, excuse me, and he really was impressed with their sincerity and their attempt to empower poor people and all people, but especially poor people, and they entitled that book, Why We Want You to Make, Why We Want You to Be Rich. Imam was very impressed with that, and Imam Muhammad made this talk 6 months before he passed. He made that talk March the 2nd, 2008. And he, like I said, I'll repeat, he praised Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki as good-hearted humans. You know, and he also said that they knew how the disparity in wealth and poor people, real poor people now in America, and very, very rich, ultra rich people in America now, and they were commenting on how so many people had lost their homes through the mortgage meltdown about that time. So I had been calling into other radio shows, or actually Block Talk radio shows, and I was getting kind of like a not so friendly reception, but I wanted to keep it up because Imam Muhammad is just not any man. He's the Imam. He was blessed by God, and we followed him from 1975 up until the day he passed in 2008, and he dropped a heavy, heavy message on us and on America and on the world, you know, and his motto was remake the world. And so a lot of us take that very, very seriously. So that's why I named this show, and I'm going to keep this title, Why They Want You to Be Rich. It's going to be about Imam W.D. Muhammad, Donald Trump, and Robert Kiyosaki. Why Donald Trump? Because he's the president of the United States. And he has economic programs and social programs that could benefit our people. Now, whenever I mention that, I say, look, he has a trillion dollar economic initiative where he wants to empower these Rust Belt cities and urban centers and everything with $1 trillion and create infrastructure jobs. But I'll go into that a little later. But right now, let's bring on Imam Muhammad Khatib from Los Angeles, California, and let him talk to you and talk to us, and and enrich us and give knowledge to us like he can do, like he can do. And you'll agree with me after listening to him that the brother's really inspired and he's really blessed by Allah. Muhammad?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Your own, brother. Your own.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wow.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستهديه وأستغفره وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الحمد لله. Brothers and sisters, this is indeed a blessing for me, a big honor for me also. I really appreciate Brother Amin. And thank you very much, Brother Amin. I'm so glad that Allah has given you your gifts. And I remember at one time Imam Muhammad said that everyone should just work in the place that Allah has given them. They should go through the door that Allah has given them. It's ridiculous to think that we're all going to wear the same size shoe, that we're all going to wear the same size hat, that we're all going to, you know, have the same faith. Even if you're an identical twin, you still have some mark, some blemish, some way for people to tell the difference between you and your identical brother or sister. But we appreciate all the work that every believer is doing. So no matter what face Allah has put on you, use that face to worship and serve Him. Use that face to worship and serve Allah. And try your best to come up to the reputation, the dignity, the model, the mold of the model that He's given us to pattern ourselves on, and that's Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And someone would say, "Well, why are you on a program that's talking about money, or why are you associated with someone and they're talking about money, or they're talking about Donald Trump or whoever?" Well, you know. Whenever we're doing anything, I mean, you had to learn to walk. You had to learn to speak. So at first, it may be a little rough, but and you're not used to it. Maybe unusual. It's an unusual event or an unusual happening. Well, our brothers and sisters are working in their places. I may not understand politics. I may not understand industry, but there are people who do understand that. And so I have to stand back and watch them do what they're doing and be humble enough to take lessons from them, to take training from them. The people that he's talking about on his program are mega rich people, super smart people, and they know what they're doing. I don't know how to put money in your pocket, but Brother Amin has focused in on some people who know how to put money in your pocket, put food on the table. I don't want to call myself being somebody's leader, and I'm not even trying to help their life in a whole way or in a broad manner or a broad way. But just to, you know, the word imam means one who leads the prayer. You know, someone doesn't have to have that title to lead the prayer, and someone who has that title may not be the person that we can follow in every area of life. We should be able to. We want our leaders to be broad-minded. We want our leaders to be motivated. But our leaders, number one, should be in the main mode of a believer, which means worshiping and serving Allah, and to be humble and kind and loving and helpful to those who have traits. When we look at people, we should see good in them. We should look for the good in everybody. We should look for the good in people and help them. If, you know, the person that's doing some work, he may not have his shoes tied, and he may be working around dangerous machines. And maybe you don't know how to work those machines, but you can at least help him. Hey, when you get a chance, tie your shoe up. Watch his back for him. So we don't want to be people who do what the Quran says, those who backbite. We want to be people who help people. From Imam says that the name Khalifa has to do with providing leadership from a distance or from behind you. One who comes from behind And he says that that actually is the best leader because he can see farther than the person who's out front just leading you. So let us not get caught up in our different titles and in our different badges. The work itself will show me who you are. If I watch you or be around you for a little while, it doesn't matter what you call yourself. I'll watch your activities, and then I can tell what kind of person you are. So, brothers and sisters, let's be as solid as we possibly can. Allah revealed this religion so that it would save us. And so I appreciate any brother and sister who has a talent or a skill, and especially someone like Brother Amin. He's the most well-versed and broad-minded and skilled radio person that we have. Radio, someone might say personality, but he's a radio achiever. He has, for years now, I think something like 25 or 30 years, daytime, night, early in the morning, he's up on the show. I think Stevie Wonder used to have a radio show and still maybe does in Los Angeles. Brother Amin would be on that program all the time, giving words of wisdom, words of encouragement, going over various systems. He's a system man. You know, in al-Islam, I love it. I love the fact that Allah has blessed me to understand a lot of the Quran, a lot of the Sunnah. But I don't know very much about the systems of government, the systems and the subsystems of finance, the systems of medicine or the systems of science. I don't know a lot about those various fields. They call them fields and systems. But Imam Muhammad said that Allah is Rabbil Alameen, which means that he, Imam translated it as that he is the cherishing sustainer, the Lord of all of the systems that exist. That's enough for me, brothers and sisters. So I should be, and you should be, busily working in whatever systems or skills or talents, abilities, we should be worshiping and serving Allah. The number one system that we have is this religion called al-Islam. And that's why I'm a part of this program is because I'm just stuck in there and I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I know a lot, I think, about the Quran. I know a lot about the Sunnah. I know a lot about the prayers. I know a lot about the culture and the culture that we're involved in this society. I know a lot about how we're systematically being attacked. I know how the human being can be targeted. It is being targeted. And that's been going on a long time since the beginning of time. But this way of life is designed to save your mind, to stop the burning, to stop the pain, to stop the humiliation. Everybody's talking about how stressed out they are and how they hardly can make it. And so many people in society have these various psychological, that means mental, spiritual, diseases and disorders. Disorder. Why are you disordered? Because something has attacked you. Shaitan has attacked us. He's attacking us all the time. He asked Allah for permission to attack us. And Allah says that he gave Shaitan permission to do his thing. Gave Shaitan permission to attack us. When I say Shaitan, I'm talking about Satan, the devil. And Allah says that he will get everyone except those, in fact, Satan said it himself, I'll get everyone except those who are sincere and purified. And Allah says, you'll get everyone except those who are sincere and purified. It's in the Quran. So we have to keep our mind on Allah as we're going through life. Allah will stop the burning and the humiliation that Satan wants to put on us. Shaitan wants to humiliate us. He said that he said, my Lord, he said, Allah, I will prove to you that they will not, that mankind will not be grateful for your favors. Now we got people who know how to make sewing machines, and we got people who know how to make airplanes, and we got people who know about finance, and we got people who know about government and politics and medicine and science and agriculture, manufacturing on whatever level. If we have people who know how to do that, the best thing for us to do is take some lessons, get some knowledge, some skill. And you know, I heard Imam Muhammad say one time, he said, we don't need a whole lot of masjids. He said, but we do need a bunch of schools. We do need a whole bunch of schools, and we do need to continue our religion, but we can practice
the religion inside the school. We're supposed to be teaching our children anyway. But you see today, many of the places that have been built, some of them have been built from the ground up. They don't have the following that they should have, given the idea that we had of how many people would turn out or come to the masjid on Jumu'ah. We find that a lot of times the masjids now or the centers, they're losing attendance. One of the reasons that we're losing attendance is because we really don't have a full or well-rounded life presentation to share with the people. We can't keep them interested enough. We're in competition with the world. We're in competition with the business world. We're in competition with television. We're in competition with the media to keep our people's minds. So Allah wants us not to be humiliated because the business centers of the world, the societies of the world, they are set up on whims. You heard of the word whimsical. Anything they want to do, and you hear the word sick in it. They're living by their whims. They're living by their wishes. They're living by their vain desires. Allah says that in the Quran. Shaitan wants to prove that we are not grateful to Allah. If we're grateful to Allah, we will pay attention to any good that He sends us. Any good that Allah sends you and you see it, that is called a sign of Allah. That is a sign of Allah. That is a message to your mind. The number one message to your mind is the Holy Quran. If you study the Holy Quran, not only is it a message to your mind, but it is the best conditioner and the best thing to revitalize you and to reawaken you, to rebirth you, that exists, because the Holy Quran is what? Allah's own word, our Creator's own word. Every word, every letter in the Quran comes straight from your Creator. You have to understand that. We have to stop being so physical-minded. We have to stop looking for Allah to be an idol. We have to stop looking for our leaders to be idols. The prophets are not idols. The imams are not idols. The sheikhs are not idols. Father and mother are not idols. People are not idols. We are not allowed to worship people. We're allowed to worship the ultimate reality, the highest reality. That's one of the names of Allah. He is reality. He is a reality that is so powerful, so awesome, He has the power to create other realities. And we are one of them. Your life is one of the realities that Allah is making and has made. We don't want to be humiliated. We don't want to be disrespectful to Allah by throwing away the good in anybody, in ourselves or in others. We don't want to throw that away. We want to pay. We want to pay. We want to pay attention to what Allah has revealed. That is how we reciprocate or show Him our appreciation by paying Him. Paying Him what? Paying Him your mind. Paying Him your attention, you know. When we were young, our parents would get after us, and they said, "Boy, you better mind me. You're not paying me no mind. You're not paying me no mind. Well, what would happen to you? What do you think is going to happen to you if you don't pay the Creator any mind, if you don't give Him your full attention?" So we want to stop the harassment and the weakness of our species by Satan. We want to stop the harassment. We want to stop the shame. Didn't Satan, wasn't one of his plans or what the eventuality of his devices, wasn't it to cover us with shame? It's a shame when we don't do what we're supposed to do. It's a shame when we don't pay attention to the Creator. Shaitan wants us to live in shame. Where's your smile, brothers and sisters? You know that Allah says in the Quran, the believers will have joy in all that they do. The believer will have joy in all that he or she does. You're not supposed to be covered with shame, angry. You can get on the phone and holler at people. You can watch people in the public. They get on the phone, they're walking down the street on the phone, cursing, angry, hostile, full of hate. A believer, a Muslim believer, should not be like that. You should see, what is it? Why is it? How could it possibly be that you could have joy in all that you do? You got to turn your whole self to Allah. Now, you think I'm going to be against someone? I don't care what anybody says about Brother Amin, if he has, I don't think it's as bad. You know, sometimes when people are talking about us or saying things about us or seem to hold us back, we can get discouraged and we might complain a little bit. But I don't care what anybody is doing. I believe in every believer who's trying to save his or her life and has enough guts to want to reach out to others and help them. Don't you know we're supposed to be helpers of each other? Don't you know we're supposed to be running as in a race towards all that is what? All that is good. So there's no way in the world I'm going to miss an opportunity to speak to and through and with people of his caliber that are strong in their field, no matter what field they're in. If they have these achievements, the devil didn't give them these achievements to these people. Allah gave them these achievements, and they have to become expert in them. And you have to give everybody their props. You have to give them respect because these are the signs of Allah that they carry. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and the peace be upon him, prayers to Allah be upon him and peace. When he started out, you think he was just smooth sailing right along? No, he was afraid of what was happening to his life and his mind. He was afraid of the spiritual things and the divine things that was happening to him by him seeing a being that was not from earth. How would you handle that? Brothers and sisters, we better wake up. So you should be smiling. You should be grateful to Allah for what he's doing for you. And I'm thankful to Allah to participate in anyone's program, anyone's show. You know, they say the show must go on. But we want to change the show from the horrible things that are on the television and in the media where these people are talking about their show must go on and they are servants of Satan. We want to change it to transmitting and displaying and brilliantly and strongly as we can show what Allah has said, present what Allah has said, live what Allah has said. We ought to have a mindset, a mental situation that puts us up high, high and safe in life. Don't you know Allah is saving your mind from being low? Allah is saving your mind. He's pulling you up so you can see where you're going. He says he'll give you a light where you will see straight in your path or on your path. You'll see straight where your feet are going on your path. That light is the light of the Quran, and the Quran is divine light. That's Allah's own light, his own words coming to you. We don't want to be caught up in the spells of the world. Allah puts us up high. We need to be high and above the spells of Satan. Spell is what? Something that's designed to waste your time. Spell. What does it sound like? Words with letters in them. Satan is sending words at you. He's sending statements at you. He's got a media worldwide network. Network, right? To catch what? To catch whoever he can catch in his net. He wants to have his, and he'll channel you through the various channels. Right now I'm sitting by the water down near San Diego, and I'm looking at the water, and I'm looking at the channels as they go this way and that way. And sometimes we can turn to channel 5, or we can turn on channel 7, but the media is so united in their desire to follow Satan sometimes that they will, the same voice on channel 5 will be on channel 7, will be on channel 11, and they're all coming at you to steal your life from you. So they want to spell out these words, and it's designed to waste your time. Allah says the waster is the brother of the Satan. So we don't want our opportunities, our time, our words, our ideas to be wasted. We don't want to be caught up in Satan's spell. We want to live in the words of Allah. The words of Allah are the highest words. Allah's words are designed to put you up, pick you up, lift you up above your depression. Depression means you down there somewhere. You captured. You're attacked. You're assaulted and assailed all the time. Allah's words pick us up above the whole world where money is not more important than your mind. Material things are not more important than your mind. So if Allah pulls you up, he blesses you to come up, and he will if you praise him. If you bow to Allah, if you submit to Allah, he will lift you up so high that you will have the sanest mind in creation. You will have the same mind, and with that same mind, you should get with people like Brother Amin and go and get the wealth so that the wealth will be delivered from the hands of the devils into the hands of the righteous. Allah says the believers will become inheritors of the earth. That you are his inheriting agents of what? Of the whole earth. And Allah said in the Quran, he has made the earth manageable for the believers. Manageable. So you're supposed to have the earth, and you're supposed to be able, Allah says he's made the earth for you to be able to handle it, so you should be shaping it into the success, into the wealth, into the opportunities that we need to have a bright future. Brothers and sisters, some of us, we brag about our spirituality. But if your spirituality has you where you have no wealth, you have no concern for wealth, and then when people come along who have concerns for wealth and have knowledge of opportunities and systems and various methods for advancing us, you criticize them, you shoot them down, they're on their training wheels or tricycle trying to get up, and you know that if they get on that bicycle or get in that airplane or get in that jet, they're going to be gone. I hope that you're not one of these people who's trying to hold back the signs of Allah, hide the signs of Allah, darken the signs of Allah. Otherwise, you're guilty. I'm almost finished. And Brother Amin, may Allah bless you and thank you for the opportunity to communicate in, to the public here through your show. But Allah's words are designed to pick us up. They are all real. Allah's words in the Quran, in nature, they're all real. They're natural. They're natural. They're natural. They're nature-based. We're made out of the earth. We're made out of nature. We're made out of soil. We're made out of water. There's air there. There's light there. All of these things make us up. We're nature. We're natural. So don't be afraid to be made of the words of heaven and earth. Don't be afraid of being made. First, we're made of earth. Actually, we're made in heaven first, because Allah, he desired or intended to make a man. And he said that before he made him. So actually, your existence, your thinking, your gifts were already with Allah. Then he manifested them on earth by making Adam with his own hands. And then Adam gave Adam what? Heavenly words, so that the earth now has the heavenly words. Brothers and sisters, this is you and I getting up. We're waking up. We're rising up. We will be the highest of the high, and Allah desires that we be that way. It is he who has made you his inheriting agents or caretakers of the whole earth. Caretakers. How are you going to take care of anything and you don't have anything? You don't want anything, and you're stopping the people who are trying to get something. Need a whooping. Brothers and sisters, that's just about it for me today, but I want to lead everybody in a dua. And remind people that we want to go out with this sacred word, and we want to put it everywhere. Nothing can withstand us. Stop thinking that you have to ask somebody's permission, or stop thinking that you're under somebody or behind in the race, and there's no help for you or hope for you. No, pick yourself up and realize that when you worship Allah, he's with you all the time. He sees you all the time. He hears you all the time. There's never a time when Allah is absent. He sees you. He knows you. He opens the way for you. He's Al-Fatah. He opens the way for us to victory. Allah is the one that all creation depends on. So if you ask Allah and ask him sincerely and work for what you want, he says he is the one who owns everything, and he can give it freely to whomsoever he pleases. Don't think you're too small to be blessed by Allah when he made you already. So I'm so happy. I'm so thankful. And some people are going to say, we don't want to hear that. Well, they did that to the messengers. They did that to all the prophets. Some of them told people, if you don't stop teaching what you're teaching, we're actually going to kill you. We'll stone you to death. See, so we can't be weak-minded, and we can't ever turn away from the Quran, because you know what? The Quran has all the answers. I told somebody that one day. I said, I know everything, and it scared them to death. But the reason I know everything is because I got my hands on the Quran, and if I don't know it right at that moment, I'll just flip those pages and look it up. I trust Allah. And on top of that, Allah doesn't have to have books to guide you, but he, in his mercy, he sent you a book so you can open it up yourself and look at it anytime. But don't forget, Allah is Al-Hadi. He's the guide to the right. Al-Hadi, Al-Hadi. He's a guide to the right. He's a guide. And Al-Rashid, the guide to the right path. So he already knows how to guide you. There's no question about that. So stop holding yourself back. Stop cheating yourself. Stop disrespecting this great blessing that we have. Stop waiting. I'll get to it someday. We already went through that. We shall overcome someday. This is our day now, and you have to get up and go sit on that throne that has been prepared for you, put that crown in your head, and rule fairly and justly the way that the book says to do it, and you will be blessed. So let's close with a dua.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. I seek refuge with Allah against Satan, the rejected enemy. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah. All praises be to Allah. Lord of all the systems that exist, everything that exists. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The most merciful, the most gracious, the most merciful. Malik Yawmi Deen, master of or ruler of the day, authority of the day of judgment. Iyaka Nabudu wa Iyaka Nasta'een. Show us the straight way. Sirat al-Ladina and Amta Alayhim, the way of those upon whom you have bestowed your grace and favor. Ghayr al-Maghdubi Alayhim wa Ladaleen. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. If I left out, guide us. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqeen. May Allah forgive me. I'm very excited, but I'm very happy, I'm very confident, and I'm very sure that we're doing the right thing, that we have the right way of life, that we are worshiping not an idol, but the reality who has the power to shape all other realities. And I thank Allah for all of you. Keep listening to this program and any program and anyone who is Allah sent to guide us towards truth. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu. Thank you, Brother Muhammad. Thank you. That was so beautiful. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. As usual, very erudite and very knowledgeable and very very spiritual and full of information. Alhamdulillah. I have, this is Amin Yasir Muhammad, and I have in my hand the book that Imam W.D. Muhammad was talking about. It's called Why We Want You to Be Rich. And on page 7 of the book, it is an introduction written by a lady named Sharon Lecter. And she, I just want to just read this to you, why our imam mentioned this book and these people. He says, in an introduction, it says, businessmen, not politicians. This is what this lady says, who's writing an introduction. She says, people expect, this is called businessmen, not politicians. He says, people expect their elected government officials to take care of the growing problems facing the poor and middle class. Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki are not politicians. And in parentheses, it says, although there is a strong movement brewing for Donald to run for president. That's it. It's on page 7. They write this book as entrepreneurs, investors, and educators, you know. So this is on page 7, right at the top there, that he was thinking or others were organizing him or his efforts. And this book came out in 2006, you know. So Why We Want You to Be Rich, I want to read something else to you that a lot of people probably have overlooked because it's called Donald Trump's 10-point plan for African Americans. Will it work? Will it work? And he has a 10-point plan. It says, in this came off of EURweb.com, EURweb. But just, you know, Google Donald Trump's 10-point plan for Black America or African Americans. Will it work? You know? Number one of his plan, he says, great education through school choice. Great education through school choice. That's number one. He says, we will allow every disadvantaged child in America to attend the public, private, charter, magnet, religious, or homeschool of their choice. School choice
is the great civil rights issue of our time. And he says, we'll be the nation's biggest cheerleader for school choice in all 50 states. We will also ensure funding for historic black colleges and universities. Let me read that again. We will also ensure funding for historic black colleges and universities, more affordable 2- and 4-year college, and support for trade and vocational education. Now, that's number one on his 10-point plan for African Americans. Now, he nominated a lady named Betsy DeVos as his Secretary of Education, and her real thrust is vouchers. Why was I, you know, why did my antennas go up when, you know, he was talking about that and talking about nominating Betsy DeVos? She's in now. It's because we have Claire Muhammad schools. We have Claire Muhammad schools. We don't have enough. We came down from 100, I think, in 8, I think, Sister Halima Muhammad Ali, Honorable Elijah Muhammad's granddaughter, was telling she's an educator. And an activist, her name is Halima Muhammad Ali. She says we had, I think, 108 schools national, and we're down to about 6 school full-time schools now. And so through the voucher system through Donald Trump, and I mean President Donald Trump and Betsy DeVos, we'll be able to fund, inshallah, our Claire Muhammad schools. It's our money. We're being taxed for it. They're giving back our tax money. It's not like, as they say, the white man doing this, white man. No, 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 no. This is our tax money. The money won't be going through public schools, or, you know, to public schools. Your child don't have to go to the school in your zip code. You could take your voucher, and some people say that's like $7,200 a year or $7,000 a year, and go to a religious school, like Claire Muhammad School, or to a Catholic school, or to a Baptist school, or a Buddhist school, you know, or a Jewish school, if they, you know, accept the vouchers. And so this is what impressed me about this, and that's his number one plan. That's number one. He calls it great education through school choice. In other words, you have a choice. Or you can send your child, you know, back to public school. So what I know about public schools, you have a lot of neighborhood influences, outside influence in the schools. The kids come to school and they bring Snoop Dogg to school and all the other rapster, gangster rapsters and immoral lifestyle that we see that's a little bit you know, over the top that we don't.
Mister, aren't you a teacher?
Like. Yes, yes. Yes, sir. Yes,
aren't
sir.
You a teacher?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, absolutely. Alhamdulillah. So, praise be to Allah. So, that's number one on his list. Number two, he says, safe communities. We will make our communities safe again. Every poor African-American child must be able to walk down the street in peace. Safety is a civil right, you know? That's number two. The Russian, I'm editing this as I read. The reduction of crime is not merely a goal, but a necessity. And then three, he says, equal justice under the law. We will apply law fairly, equally, and without prejudice. There will be only one set of rules, not a two-tiered system of justice. Equal justice also means the same rules for Wall Street. All right, number four. Number four, he says, tax reforms to create jobs and lift up people and communities. Let me read that again. Tax reforms to create jobs and lift up people and communities. We will lower the business tax from 35% to 15% and bring thousands of new companies to our shores. We will also have a massive middle class tax cut, tax-free child care savings account, and child care tax deduction and credit. We will also have tax holidays for any city, for inner city investment, and new tax incentives to get foreign companies to relocate in blighted American neighborhoods.
Beautiful.
Okay? Good luck. Number five, he says financial reforms to expand credit to support new job creation.
Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad, you there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm very sorry. Sometimes it wasn't my fault this time. But I guess the technology.
Hey, well, you know the best stations go out, so, and they're multi-billion-dollar companies.
Praise be to Allah. Yes. So I was reading financial reform to expand. Number five. This is number five. Financial reforms to expand credit to support new job creation. We will have financial reforms to make it easier for young African Americans to get credit to pursue their dreams in business and create jobs in their communities. Dodd-Frank has been a disaster, making it harder for small businesses to get credit they need. We, you know, every business, a lot of businesses need some type of startup, need some type of capital, capital, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, and according to what he said, yes, sir, go ahead.
Saying, but, you know, I've read where they'll spend, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 a year to keep somebody locked up, but wouldn't loan that same person or wouldn't loan, you know, the general community people $5,000 to start a business or $2,000.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, I'll skip down to number six, trade that works for American workers. He says, we will stop massive chronic trade deficits that have emptied out our jobs. We won't let our jobs be stolen from us anymore. We will stop the offshoring of companies to low-wage countries and raise wages at home, meaning rent and bills become instantly more affordable. We will tell executives that if they move their factories to Mexico or other countries, we will put a 35% tax on their product before they ship it back to the United States.
Oh, praise it to Allah.
That's something. Yes, sir. Number seven, protection from illegal immigration. Protection. We will restore the civil rights of African Americans, Hispanic Americans, and all Americans by ending illegal immigration.
Oh, praise it to Allah.
Let me read that again. Protection from illegal immigration. We will restore the civil rights of African Americans, Hispanic Americans, and all Americans by ending illegal immigration. No group has been more economically harmed by decades of illegal immigration than low-income African American workers. No group has been more economically harmed by decades of illegal immigration than low-income African American workers.
Yes, sir. Can you pardon me for interrupting
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Whose work are you reading right now?
I'm reading President Donald Trump's 10-point plan for African Americans. This is
now, no other leaders. I've heard no other leaders talk about that.
Alhamdulillah. All right. I was guided by just Imam Muhammad. You know, when I read that and started telling people that, I said, you know, Imam is just not any man, that's the Imam.
Mm-hmm.
We love him and we've learned so much from him. He's taught us so much. He brought us from a mighty long way.
If he says that,
it's incumbent upon us to do a double take, even though we hear this media barrage against President Trump. It's the duty of the believer to do a second take.
Absolutely.
Let me pardon, brother. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's not just any. That's Imam Muhammad. You know, that's Imam Muhammad. And he says, eight, new infrastructure investment. Infrastructure. We will leverage public-private partnerships and private investments through tax incentives to spur $1 trillion in infrastructure and investment over 10 years, of which the inner cities will be the major beneficiary. Now, who are the inner cities? That's where we are.
That's right.
We will cancel all wasteful climate change spending from Obama-Clinton, including all global warming payments to the United Nations. This will save $100 billion over 8 years. We will use these to help rebuild the vital infrastructure, including water system, in America's inner cities. Okay? Then number nine, he says, protect the African-American church, which he is, you know, wants to protect religious liberty. When he says church, I guess that, you know, it has to mean not only just churches, but you know, Buddhist temples and Hindu temples and masjid,
right.
You know.
That's right.
All that, you know.
Yeah. And no Muslim should be against protection of churches or synagogues, because Muslims are forbidden to attack religious people. And it's specifically mentioned in the Quran not to attack churches or synagogues.
That's right. That's why we're supposed to protect them, I think, you know, religious places of worship.
Absolutely.
We go our way to protect them. Alhamdulillah. All right, let me go on. Let me see. Protect trade the works. Let me see. Protect our community church, and then the one that I like is because I pray that we could wind down those wars overseas in the Middle East. You know, it's so hurtful to see so many Muslim immigrants in the world. And he said, America first policy. America first, not Israel first. He didn't say Israel, America first. He said, we will stop trying to build democracies overseas. We will stop. I've heard him say no more nation building and building democracies and that, I mean, no more, what he said, he calls it nation building overseas and regime change, all that kind of stuff like that, you know what
right.
I mean? He wants to fight terrorism. Terrorism, you know, people don't, you know, people who behead people and kill, cut off noses and, I mean, you know, I mean, noses of school children and stop school children from going to school and stuff like that. Yeah, fight that kind of terror, but, you know, not the Muslims. So that's his 10-point plan. Yes, sir, Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, that's his 10-point plan. You got something to say? Alhamdulillah, I'd like to hear your estimation of this.
Well, alhamdulillah, when I heard, I thought that was something that you heard Imam Muhammad saying. But whenever anyone, you know, Imam said many years ago that because of the new mentality that the world would be given through people like such as himself, and actually he was just speaking of himself because he was the only one that was studying the Quran and believing in the Quran and sharing with us correct interpretation of scripture from the Bible and the Quran. And he said that the world's going to have a new voice. He said the world's going to have a new mind. So when you hear people talking the things and speaking the language that Brother Amin, myself, and other people around the community, we're not the only ones. All the imams, the people, the common language in our community are the main thoughts and teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So if you hear other people saying that and you recognize it, you got to say, hey, we're all living now in this new mind, and we all have access to this new language. We all are now willing to give justice finally. And, you know, Brother Amin mentioned about the people overseas who are beheading people and all that. You know, right here in America, the African-American used to be beheaded. He was hung from the tree, and when they hang you, if your body was too heavy and your head popped off, that's beheading. So it's quite a blessing to hear someone who doesn't have to, of all the Europeans or Caucasian Americans that don't have to come out and say good things about anybody, especially of the ex-slave, say anything about the ex-slave, it would be someone like Donald Trump. Who's independent. Now, I don't particularly promote him per se. I've mentioned the good things that I hear about him, and I know that he's definitely got an unorthodox mind, and I did vote for him, just to mention. I certainly did. And besides myself, I don't really know of any other imams that were saying the things that I hear Donald Trump saying now. I was saying to my family that we need somebody who will speak against these street drugs, who will speak against these cartels, who will call a spade, and when we got countries who claim to be our neighbors and friends transporting tons and tons and megatons of drugs here, which are nothing but an assault or an attack on our people, and their government looks the other way, I used to say things like we need to nuke them or something because they're really destroying our people. They're undermining the strength of our country. Really, they're committing crimes against humanity. And if you listen to one of my 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 khutbahs that I have
you'll see that I've been teaching about this for about 3 or 4 years as illegal immigration and things like that got worse. And I said, who is the leader that will speak up for the community and society? I said, if we don't get somebody that will speak up for America right about now, then we're done. It's all over. And that's when Donald Trump popped up on the scene as a politician who said, I'm not a politician, I'm a businessman, but I'll try it out. So we're getting good results. He said good things. I've heard him say many, many things that are from the pool of thinking and from the pool of language that we have as Muslims. So we have to support that. And don't listen to the media tell you who to vote for. You got a good heart. You got a good mind. You're a member of the Khalifa body, the so-called body Christ that Imam Muhammad used to talk about. But just let's just call it the Khalifa or the caretaker of the earth. You're one of the members of that community. You should see plainly who's good for us and who's not. When I say us, I mean the human being. So I don't want to go on and on, but I'm very happy and pleased that we have a few people who can see, I think, correctly. If someone else had gotten voted in as president, it would have been business as usual, which means that it would have been all over for the inner cities because they wouldn't stop the drugs. Right now we got a Border Patrol and Immigration Service, you know, Homeland Security, that's been beefed up, being beefed up, and as other people go crazy, then we're going to be there to stop all that foolishness. You've probably heard about the tunnels, 90 feet underground, the size, the length of 3 or 4 football fields, wide enough to drive vehicles underground to get drugs and illegal people into our country. And I said our country, too. I was in Vietnam, and I've seen dead Chinese fighting for the Vietnamese. There were Russian advisors over there. If those people, Russia, China, some of these countries, get their hands on us, they're going to kill the ones who really don't know too much about what they're doing. If you're not a high scientist or something, or have some sort of great manufacturing skills and some new ideas, you're out of here. So anybody who's out here, and the right to complain, the right to protest and all that, the reason you can do that is because we have a strong military that's looking out for you right now. The reason you're able to sleep at night is because somebody's watching the shores and the skies and the land for you. So, brothers and sisters, let's wake up and realize that we want to support anyone that's out to help save our community, and our community is here. We're birthed here. We were brought here illegally, but Allah took all of that away from us, and now we have the strength to do something for ourselves, and that's what we should be doing. We should not be afraid anymore. We should not be weak. We should be strong, and we should stop these people who are committing these crimes against humanity. If you can go somewhere and give some tips on who's doing what in this society illegally, you should do that and be very careful. Don't use your cell phone. Don't even use a phone in your neighborhood. Don't use your friend's family phone. Go to a pay phone or send a text from some independent instrument at the library or whatever. But you should be supporting our government to make sure that we can stay safe in this society. We have nowhere else to go. You know, I call this the Obama era, or excuse me, I call this the Barack era. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, he rode a horse from Mecca to Jerusalem. And they said this horse-like creature, wasn't really a horse, wasn't really a mule. This horse-like creature had wings, so of course it wasn't a horse or a mule. And he could move like a bolt of lightning across the skies. And he took Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the angel Gabriel, who brought the horse from paradise, brought the horse to the prophet so they could ride across the skies, and he could show Gable could show him various things. I call this the Barack era. We're riding this big white horse. I don't mean to say white as a color, but this is mostly a European steered and directed effort. But it's a human effort. It's bigger than that. It's an effort that is sanctioned by and blessed by divine. So what we need to do is ride this Barack all across. Don't get underneath him because he's a war horse and he'll stump your guts out. But get up on top with this big mind, the best mind, the only mind that we have been taught is fit to rule. That's the Khalifa. Get up on Barack and ride into the future. It may be 100,000 years or 200,000 years before we meet our Lord in the hereafter. We want to be solid people enjoying life all the while. I'm not talking just spiritual. I'm not talking pie in the sky. I'm talking about this is the reality that we should be living each and every day. So we've got to start taking charge of things, got to start taking charge of systems. We've got to become competitive. We've got to turn away from corruption and replace that with what is righteous. And Allah will bless us, and we will go on until we're together in paradise, for real.
Alhamdulillah. All right, I want to close out with just a little information that I have been very impressed with for the last 3 years or so because of my interest in giving our children the best language and the best environment and the best culture that we could give our children. The music industry, with this immoral rap and gangster rap that our children, our young people are buying into, and they promote it so much on radio and TV, and they give these people big money and big rewards to serve as a lure or a fast kind of like a attraction for our kids. But it was a secret meeting. It's called a secret meeting. You could Google it. Under secret meeting that changed rap music and destroyed a generation. I wish I could find it just to read it to you, but I'll paraphrase it. It was a man who had been a part of the music industry for a decade or two, and he was a promoter and a music promoter and producer. And he came from Europe, he says. And he says that he was invited to a meeting, and it was kind of like a secretive meeting, you know. Then he looked into it, and it was an invitation to a lot of people in the industry who were producers and promoters and all that in the music industry. And this happened, he says, in 1991. And it's called, this essay that he wrote is called A Secret Meeting to Change Rap Music and Destroy the Generation. And he says he went to this meeting and it's very secretive. And it was somewhere here in California in a nice area of, I assumed it was in Beverly Hills or Hollywood, somewhere, nice and lucrative. Not necessarily like, but lucrative, nice, but lucrative. And it was very secretive. And the person came out and he told the people, he asked the people there who were assembled. It was a group of them. I assume it was 30 people or so, to sign a non-disclosure statement, a statement that they couldn't disclose the content of what they were going to say. So in 1991, the guy who was delegated to talk about this new venture that they wanted these record people, record industry people, or entertainment industry people to get into. He came out and he says, look, things are going to change in 1991, and what we want you to do is to promote. We want you to promote it, do all you can, to talk about it, make it big, give us your ideas. Give us all your thoughts and make this big, And so people said, well, why in 1991? He says, well, it's because we want to promote. So, Muhammad, I think you got your phone on mute because we hear a little background noise. He says, it's because we want you to promote this music because this music promotes lawlessness. It promotes lawlessness and crime.
you soon. And he says, well, hey, this is wrong, the guy was saying. You know, people were saying, no, we don't want to sign no disclosure statement about this. Let me out. I don't want to, you know, be a part of this. And they said, well, what's the connection to our industry? He says, because the record companies that you work for, all those big mega, you know, companies,
we're near an airport.
Okay, so have you got a mute button on your phone?
Let me do that. Apologize.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, and he says, well, it's because the companies, these record companies, the entertainment companies that you guys represent, that you work for, he says, they have investments in privately owned prisons. And he says, when you promote this gangster rap, you know, for these kids over and over, and let these kids come up on this gangster rap, these record companies also have investments in privately owned prisons. In other words, they get the more prisoners that they could put into these privately owned prisons, you know, the more money. Now, African Americans are about, they say, around 50% of the prison population, even though we're only about 10-15% of the actual human population of the United States. But we represent about 50%. Of the prisons in these prisons. So they're locking up our kids, and sometimes our kids get into things because they all want to be, like they say, sometimes gangsters, and they want to do, you know, make a jack move, and they want to do something crooked or underhanded or immoral or something like that. But these record companies, on one hand, they're producing these gangster rap acts. They got these acts. And if you look at, you Google 1991, or go back and, you know, do a little research on 1991, it was a proliferation of these gangster rap acts coming out, one after another, after another, after another in 1991. So he makes 1991 the pivotal date for an explosion and an expansion of gangster rap acts. 1991, he said. And, I mean, we do know that Eazy-E went to the White House, right? He went to the White House. And George Bush Sr. was there, right? And George Bush Sr. was the head of the CIA, right? And who do you think may have been at this meeting at the White House with all these people, all these investors, right? All these people, all these big, rich investors might want to invest in this privately owned prison. You know, way back in 1991, maybe they had a new investment twist, you know. So they invited Eazy-E to the White House. Why Eazy-E to the White House? As a symbol of the type of person that they wanted to create. They wanted to create an Eazy-E type. They invited him to the White House. He came to the White House. He went to the White House. You know, and people say, well, why? Yeah. It's because he was a symbol of the new investment. Let's create all these gangsters. You fight the police, kill the police, shoot, whatever that was, all that. And all those groups to talk about drugs and crime and robbery and rape and everything that we know about, right? So these same record companies, entertainment companies, not only was making money off the gangster rap acts, they was also making money off the privately owned prisons that they owned and had investments and stock in and was getting earnings per share and all that, right? And they still go. And you can look at, the big ones are like GEO Group and the Correction Corporation of America, CCA, I think it is. Big, huge, billions of dollars a year. So, you know, we have to ask about education. We want Clair Muhammad schools so we can protect our children as much as we can from those types of influences, gangster rap, because these people calculate it. You know what I mean? Like I tell the kids, some of the kids that I deal with, you may be bobbing your head to all this gangster stuff and
selling drugs or smoking weed and cocaine or whatever and all that. But your little brother, 5 years old, 6 years old, see his big brother or big sister bobbing their head to it. And they're going to just do what you do. So we have another generation. We have other kids coming up right behind these kids, you know what I mean, who are into crime, like immorality and sin and crime is no big thing because they hear it. They think it's a part of life. If you could rob, steal, do anything, sell a woman, you know, turn a trick or whatever, you know what I mean, ride a pole at a club or something like that, well, go ahead and do it, you know. So I want you to know that Imam Muhammad told us to think deep, brothers and sisters, think deep. He taught us about Jacobite. There was the ungodly Jacobite who does things very sneakily and surreptitious. You know, he told us about, well, Jacobite is actually Satan. And he told us to think deep. So I've tried to do that as much as I can. So when it's ever some type of game or situation coming up, Imam Muhammad have actually taught us to look at it and analyze it best we can. So I wanted to share that with you. So the next time your youngster come in the house with a gangster rap tape or something, you know, bumping some of these characters, do a double take and give them a talk. Talk to them. Talk to your sons and daughters and your nieces and nephews and kids in the neighborhood, you know, that, have you heard of, like, Christmas jingle? Christmas jingle is what we hear so much of that around November, December, jingle, man, all that. Why? They want to promote Christmas so you could go spend your money. And you'll be influenced to spend your money. They want to keep you in the spirit or in the mood, right? Christmas, like Christmas jingles and Easter jingles and all kind of jingles. Well, those are prison jingles. Look at it that way. Prison jingles that they are feeding our kids. You see what I mean? And they say, and here's the one, like a defense that they put up. They say, Caucasians buy more rap than African American. Caucasians, the young white kids, buy more rap. The ones in the suburbs got money. They buy more rap than African Americans. Well, you don't see these African American rappers talking about rapping about, you know, Mary J. Kotnick or Susie Wiseman or whatever. They rapping about Shamika and Doquisha and hood rats. They call them hood rats. In other words, they're rapping about our own people. So these white people, Caucasians who buy these albums, as long as it ain't about, them, they know who all this is about. All they're actually doing is celebrating our demise, celebrating our destruction, celebrating our downfall by buying this stuff and supporting these thugs and supporting this trash, right? While our kids buy into it, and every little guy want a CD. I want to make a CD. I want to make a CD. You ask him, what you gonna rap about? Pimping, cripping. I asked one of the youngsters, hey, man, what you going to do when you get out of school? He told me, crip. I said, oh, man, these dudes are something else. You know, but I want you to be aware of this, and this is something that really affected me. Your brothers and sisters, you know, some of you are, you know, researchers like me and like to look up stuff. Google some of this stuff and Google some who are the record companies that own a lot of these gangster rap acts. You know what I mean? And then alhamdulillah. All right. So, Muhammad, I'm going to close out now. Brother Muhammad, can you close out for us in a couple minutes or so? And alhamdulillah, I'll be on again, brothers and sisters, on Saturday, same time, 4 o'clock Saturday. And we're going to talk some more. We're going to get into the mind of Robert Kiyosaki and get into the mind of Donald Trump a little bit more and their intentions. And we pray that he's successful at doing the good that he talks about. Alhamdulillah. Let's pray that he's successful and that we're all successful and we can bring our children upstate and south. Alhamdulillah. But, Mama, could you close out? Assalamu alaikum, believers.
Walaikum assalam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That was wonderful, my brother. And as we mentioned earlier, you can see how the knowledge and the language from the Holy Quran that Imam Muhammad brought to us when he assumed the leadership is alive and well. Don't minimize how we think and what we're talking about, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about yourself, too. If your language, your thinking, if your sense of justice is with what Allah has created for us in this Quran and in the life of Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, and in this new language of Imam W.D. Muhammad, then you're part of the Khalifa, and you will see yourself and others. You'll be able to see it. You'll see us birth, bring forth new life, new ideas, real ideas, and you'll see us have solutions for all of these things, these horrible things that we're faced with. You'll see us have solutions. So thank you again for joining us, and we appreciate you, Brother Amin, and thank you for inviting me here today. I really enjoyed the program. I thank Allah for giving me the Quran, the life of the believer. Allah said through Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, if you hold on to the Quran, I'm talking about reading it, studying the Quran, seriously, studying the Quran, if you hold on to the book of Allah and the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, his hadith and the way he lived it, peace be upon him, you will never, ever go astray. So let's close with Al-Fatiha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Maliki yawmiddin, divine ruler. Authority of the Day of Judgment. Iyaka nabudu wa iyaka nasta'in. The alone do we worship and thy name we seek. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Show us the straight way. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. The way of those upon whom you have bestowed your grace and favor. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Ameen. Not the way of those upon whom your wrath is brought down, nor those who go astray. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Takbir. Allah. Assalamu alaikum.